All right, today I want to bring you a message from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Now, this message here is for us, all right? It's for us. Continue in the things which you have learned. That's the title of my message. Continue in the things that you have learned. From 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 12 to 17 says, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, listen, verse 14, my message is coming from here this morning. What did Paul say to Timothy? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All right, we're going to ask the Lord to help us to get something out of this scripture for us today. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word that we can look into, Lord, and see what it is that you speak to us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit would enable us, Lord, to hear your voice speaking to us through this portion of scripture, Lord, and other scriptures we'll read this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and teach us, Lord, what it is that you want us to do. We thank you for this small group of people, Lord, who have come together. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at these scriptures and listen to this message, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bless us and encourage us, Lord. Encourage us to keep on, Lord, to keep on fighting on. In Jesus' name, amen. Today being the celebration of the 12th anniversary of Coastline Baptist Church, I thought I would use the occasion to encourage each one of us not to only remember about where the Lord has brought us from during these 12 years, but also to stir up our expectations about where the Lord might be taking us to in the journey that is ahead of us. In verse 14 of our opening scripture this morning, Paul cautions his young disciple Timothy about some negative things that he will surely encounter during his Christian journey. And likewise, Paul cautions us. His caution is relevant to us today as we seek to know God's will for us and determine, to the best of our ability, to walk obediently in it. His will. Amen. In verse 12, Paul said that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution shall come, he says. Not might come, but shall come. If we live godly in Christ Jesus, then the promise is that in one form or another, persecution will come to each of us during our walk with the Lord. Now, you notice that Paul didn't say, if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. He didn't say, if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. But the qualification is that if we dare to live godly in Christ Jesus. The devil is not worried about people living religious lifestyles, having a show of being morally good and upright citizens in the community, just so long as the Lord Jesus Christ is not involved. Alright? You can do what you like, morally good, but so long as it's not anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil wouldn't care less. He gets upset only when the Lord Jesus is included in the equation. He doesn't really worry too much if God is mentioned either, providing the God you are speaking about isn't the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about God till you're blue in the face today. It can be any God. But the minute you mention Jesus, look out. And as I pointed out in my recent message regarding the warning that Jesus made about the world hating us, it's mostly from the worldly churches throughout the world that persecution and hatred has come upon those who would live godly lives in Christ Jesus. You might have recognised that. Although things are rapidly changing in our day and the world is now rising up against Christians, nevertheless, mostly, it's been false teachers and false brethren at the forefront of persecuting anyone who would live their life according to what scriptures teach. The most persecution we've been getting, if you wanted to live faithfully by the word of God, is from so-called churches, not from the world. We haven't had the church coming here getting into us. It's been churches that have been persecuting, if you can call it persecution. Now, Paul warned Timothy in verse 13 that evil men shall wax worse and worse, not only deceiving others, but themselves as well. For us today, this teaches that doctrinal error and apostasy will increase as the church age progresses to its conclusion at the rapture. This verse accurately describes the course of the church age and the great deception being promoted throughout Christendom in our day. contrary to what many of us were taught in the Pentecostal, Charismatic and other liberal churches that we came out of before the Lord led us to Coastline, nowhere in the New Testament do we see anything about a great revival leading up to the end of the church age, but only increasing deception and apostasy. The Bible's full of that. It's not full of revivals in the last day for the church, my friend. Numerous church leaders who are already deceived themselves are in turn deceiving multitudes of scripturally illiterate professing Christians into believing that the huge rallies that they attend in sports arenas throughout the world, with up to 50,000 and 60,000 revelers in attendance, all getting emotional highs and bopping along to the deafening, pulsating rock music, they're convincing them and themselves that this is revival. Oh, man. Every week I get there's some new group in America having a big rally, revival meetings. Right? And the one last week, 60,000 young people at it. And it's all just rock and roll. Rock and roll. And they had it in this big stadium, and I commented on it, the bloke that sent me the article. I had to make a comment. I wrote back to a group of about 20 or 30 pastors throughout the world and said, have a look at the young people going into that stadium that are supposed to be going there to worship God. They're all supposed to be Christians, you see. We're in revival. We're going to worship God. They're dressed worse than if they're going to a party. The girls are all dressed in seductive clothing. The blokes are all dressed shabbily. And this is supposed to be going there to worship God, the holy God of the Bible. It's not worship to God at all. It's worldliness and it's entertainment. Added to these ungodly things going on in what society believe are orthodox churches throughout the lands in our day, the world is flooded with a great host of false religious movements, which have been established by deceived people who promote themselves as leaders in the churches and deceive huge crowds of people into following after them. Despite these things, in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, the Lord encourages us today to continue in the things we have learned. Amen? And not only learned, but also what we've been assured of, confident in the knowledge that if what we have learned can be established as truth from the Scriptures, then it is God. It is God who has taught us. We've learned it from the Scriptures. That's God teaching us. Amen? Paul was the instrument of teaching Timothy. He was the instrument God used to teach Timothy. But the object of what was being taught was directly by inspiration from God, which is the Scriptures, which we have today in our Bibles. We can have assurance that providing what we are being taught today is faithful to the Scriptures, then we too can be confident that we know from whom we have learned them. Amen? As I've already acknowledged this morning, many of us here today have come out of churches that taught us error to one degree or another. Others may have come from churches that didn't appear on the outside to be so seriously in doctrinal error, but because they did not teach the whole counsel of God, truth and error were able to coexist. This always produces a mixed multitude, or a congregation with some genuinely saved members, but also numerous unsaved and worldly members who have been given the false assurance that they are saved and on their way to heaven. We've seen that here even. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a description of the world in the last days. Jesus warned in Luke 17:26-28 that conditions in the last days just prior to his return will be similar to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The world in those days was filled with evil and all kinds of sexual immorality, just as we see today. Scripture tells us that it was also a time of violence and mocking unbelief of anything to do with God. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 is also a description of the end times Christianity, because verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes these peoples as having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. These are religious people, the professing Christians who fill the professing churches in our day, who have a display of godliness but doesn't include the power to resist the temptation to sin. A power that only comes with being converted through belief in and obedience to the message of the gospel. You can try and get ungodly people to give up sin, but they'll always go back to it. That's not so for a Christian. By getting converted to Christianity through the gospel, God gives us the power through conviction of the Holy Spirit to resist sin. As we mature in the Lord, we become more and more able to resist things that used to entice us. We don't do them anymore. I don't have any inclination to smoke cigarettes anymore or drink booze. All right, and get up to all the other things that I used to get up to, which I won't mention in my past. I don't have any temptation to do that anymore, not just because I'm old now, but that came soon after I got saved. I got convicted if I got into any of that stuff. And the conviction was so horrible that I used to even cry. How did I give up smoking a cigarette? I'll tell you how I gave up smoking a cigarette. One night I had a smoke. After I thought I'd given it up in my own strength and goodwill, I had a smoke. And the Holy Spirit convicted me so bad about that I started to cry. I'd been smoking for years. I'm a bloke from Weeper. Fancy a bloke from Weeper, tough miner, you know, rough bloke, crying because he had a cigarette. That's what God does. He brings conviction of sin. The world doesn't have that. They don't have it. They are still subject to the rule of self. Verse 2 says that they are lovers of self. These unsaved people, these people in the church are supposed to be Christians today. They are lovers of self, which we see rampant in our day in both the world and the church. An example of this love of self that Paul warned would be common in the end time church is self-esteem theology, such as that promoted by the highly popular pastor Robert Schuller, who taught that, this is what he taught, sin is an act or thought that robs myself or another human being of his or her self-esteem. You see, we think we're no good because we've sinned. He's supposed to think you're no good. But he says, no, that's a sin is any act or thought that robs myself or another human being of his or her self-esteem, love of self. Another example would be the teaching of self-esteem psychologist James Dobson, who claims that his chief objective, this is what he said, my chief objective is to point the pathway towards greater self-esteem and acceptance. Accept yourself. That's why people are so, you know, they're down and out, because they don't accept themselves. They need to have more self-esteem and acceptance. And God's trying to tell us, if you can't deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him, you can't be a Christian. They teach the exact opposite. During the last 30 or 40 years in particular, huge mega churches have been established using man-centered rather than Christ-centered gospels. We've witnessed the church growth movement that focus on the felt needs of men, rather than focusing on the holiness of God and instructing about strict obedience to the teachings of the Bible. So-called churches are full of man-centered music. A large percentage of the songs in the contemporary Christian music genre that is popular in most churches today are man-centered, with lyrics about my feelings, my problems, my victimization and my needs. Lyrics such as, listen, these came out of a Hillsong song. Spirit lead me, where my trust is without borders. That's part of their song. Spirit lead me, where my trust is without borders. That's suggesting that God's grace includes the liberty to do as I like without restrictions imposed by doctrine. No borders. Others include lyrics that imitate worldly love songs that could be sung to a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Most of the songs. I tell people, if you think rock music is okay, but I'll get my Bible and I'll pick out 10 of your songs, and I reckon 9 of them will have terrible heresy in them. So along with the worldly music, they teach heresy in their songs. And there's one there, all right? Bloke wants is experienced to be with God without borders, no borders. The major portion of people on the earth today who claim to be Bible-believing and God-obeying Christians watch and enjoy the same ungodly movies and television programs as the world. You think we haven't got the world? We haven't got the world getting at us? Well, most. The major proportion of people on the earth today who claim to be Bible-believing Christians, God-obeying, obey the Bible, watch and enjoy the same ungodly movies and television programs as the world. They don't just watch them, they enjoy them. They are attracted to the same time-wasting professional sports, and they applaud the sporting heroes and idols just like the world does. That happens. Happens even in our church. It happened big time down the one we came out of, down the road. They dress immodestly like the world. They love the same kind of flesh arousing and sensual music that the world does. And the list could go on. As well as that, as we are observing more and more with each passing day, and in complete contradiction to Scripture, increasing numbers of professing Christians wholeheartedly support abortion, homosexuality and other such evils. Do they in the churches do that? Oh, we lost some people out of here because we preached against Elton John's support of homosexuality. We lost people out of our church. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. So if we had that in our church, imagine what it's like in other churches that don't care what you believe. We do believe here. Homosexuality is a sin. Coastline began 12 years ago because some of us who were present here, who are present here today, who were fellowshipping in a supposedly fundamental independent Baptist church, separated from it. That's how we started Coastline. We separated from another independent Baptist church. In obedience to God's word, we separated because they were progressively introducing serious doctrinal error into their teaching, such as the extreme teachings of Calvinism. They were also promoting the acceptance of modern, corrupt Bible translations, such as the NIV, and worldliness was not only being tolerated, but encouraged. Worldliness. There was worldliness down there. Some of you people might not have recognized it, but I did. I had my eyes open. And there was worldliness. Hey, just the conversation that used to go on amongst the men after a service was worldliness. All they spoke about was football. That's all they could talk about. That was their main interest in the week. Anyhow, they encouraged worldliness, the NIV translation, and Calvinism. We were disappointed about the supposedly Bible-based independent Baptist church going further and further into doctrinal error and worldliness. But we were left with no other option but to come out from among them and separate from them, like we are told in scriptures such as Romans 16:17, which states, "Mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." This is what the Bible tells you to do. Mark them which cause, we're marking them this morning. That church down there teaches Calvinism. Jesus didn't die for the sins of the whole world. But it says he did in the Bible. But he didn't, they say. Yes, he... Hey, contrary doctrine. Mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned from your Bible, and avoid them. How could we possibly obey God and avoid them if we continue to attend that church every Sunday and subject ourselves to the teachings that were clearly contrary to the things that we had learned from our Bibles? We couldn't do that. We couldn't stay there and please God, you see? So we had to get out. We didn't want to, but we had to. There was no other church in Cairns that we could find that wasn't involved in error, worldliness and ecumenical fellowship. And because none of us were qualified as a pastor, which would have allowed us to begin our own church, we could have started our own church. Therefore, we met together each Sunday in a private residence at our home, right? And we prayed and sought the Lord to bring us a pastor. About 2 years later, in July 2007... after some meetings, getting to know him, Pastor Dan came along and we started Coastline Baptist Church, 2007. So, we got started with the church, 2007. All excited. Great stuff. Only a small band of us, but we got started. When Pastor Dan returned to the US in September 2012, we were without a pastor again. We went for about 2 years before Pastor Dan came, just meeting together, band of people just sticking together, serving God as best we could, obeying His word. 2 years, we got a pastor. Pastor Dan left after 5 years or whatever it was. In September 2012, we were without a pastor again. So we prayed and sought the Lord's provision for someone suitable to replace him. And after a visit from Sydney to see what we were all about, Pastor James arrived in March 2013 and became our pastor. Praise the Lord. Pastor James soon became aware of the apostasy that was increasingly infiltrating the independent Baptist churches. And between us, during 2015, myself and Pastor James, we spent almost the entire year teaching and warning our congregation about what to beware of. We need to warn the people. So we did. And we preached for a whole year, practically, during 2015, about the apostasy. And those messages are still on the website if you want to listen to them. What do you need to look out for? Well, we've taught you all. Still on the website there for anyone to go and listen to. And we update everything, eh? We keep updating as we go along through the years. Look out for the apostasy. It hasn't gone away. It's still there. It's still there. Unfortunately, believing that God was leading him to return to his home church in Sydney, Pastor James conducted his final service with us on Sunday, 11th of June, 2017. So his last meeting with us was 11th of June, 2017. That's 2 years and 1 month ago, nearly. On that Sunday, we celebrated our 10th anniversary and also farewelled the Herringsons. Hey, 2 years later, for our 12th anniversary, unfortunately and sadly, we're going to use this occasion to celebrate, or not to celebrate, but to farewell Lachlan and Kirsty. Amen? Strange, eh? We use our 10th anniversary for Pastor James, 12th anniversary for you. Who's going to be on the 13th? Who's leaving? Anyone else? We combine the... We have fellowship lunch on our anniversary, so if you're leaving, try and work it in for that, eh? Anyhow, interestingly, Lachlan and Kirsty began fellowshipping with us during our 9th anniversary celebrations when we had David Cloud here as our guest preacher. So this thing about anniversary seems to have some connotation about it now. Anyhow, we've been without a pastor now for over 2 years. And although we've been seeking the Lord to provide us with one, I'm sorry to have to inform you all that no one has really shown any interest in us. And I don't think we're going to get one any time soon. Even if somebody rang today and said, I can come there. It's going to take us a month to get him here. Amen? So we're going to be at least another month without one, okay? Yeah, which brings me to my main subject that I want to talk about this morning on our 12th anniversary. And it's from verse 14 of our opening scripture where Paul encouraged Timothy, our opening scripture, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen to the verse. This is for all of us, all right? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing on whom thou hast learned them. Although we've had some hiccups along the way, and we haven't always succeeded in keeping the pretenders out of our midst, Coastline has been committed since its inception to the best of our understanding and ability to adhere to sound biblical doctrine in faith and practice. And by God's help and grace, we remain committed to that high standard today. And I reckon we've been somewhat successful at achieving it. Amen? We have. It hasn't always been easy to come up to the standard of separation that the Scriptures plainly show that we are to aspire to. There is always the temptation, mainly because of the fear of man and not wanting to offend anyone, to just slacken off a bit on what God tells us to do, all right? When the focus is upon numbers, there is always the risk of tolerating or pretending not to notice certain sins and errors that are allowed to flourish in a congregation, in churches. We had a period during our past when, in my opinion, we had more unsaved people among us than genuinely born-again Christians here at Coastline. I say that, confident in it, that we had periods in our past at Coastline Baptist Church when we had more unsaved people among us than genuinely born-again Christians. People who were willfully worldly, not come here to seek to find God, but they were willfully worldly and who had no intention of repenting and being born again according to the Scriptures. They weren't interested in that. When the Word of God was faithfully taught, however, they dwindled away, some to apostate churches and others back out into the world. I've been tempted to get all our photos from the past and go through all the people and the names and put them on a list. We've got about 500 people through here, probably more. Where are they today? Most of them weren't ever born again. I could name them. I could give you 50 off the top of my head just quickly. We're never saved. We're never even interested to be saved, or religious. Anyhow, there is also the temptation for us to compromise for the sake of remaining in fellowship with other churches who, although they preach against certain errors, when the covers are lifted, it reveals that what they preach is not what they practice. And they want us to compromise with them for the sake of looking like we have unity together in the faith. They want us to stick together. So it looks like we're all united and friendly. No, we can't do that. We've got to obey the word of God. Amen? The situation we end up with when we do that, though, when attempting to obey God in the era of separation, is that because we live in this period called the last days, a historical period during the church age when there will be less tolerance of preaching of sound doctrine, in company with an escalation in the number of deceived men and seducers who will be actively misleading professing Christians, then what any true separatist church will end up with is not a big tent, not a big crowd, but a small group of genuine Christians in attendance. Like what's happened here at Coastline Baptist Church. Why are we in the situation we're in? Because we've stood for the Word of God. We haven't done anything wrong, have we? Have we been led down a wrong path, Andy? We're following the Lord. What the Scriptures teach us. And you know, be comforted in the knowledge that God said, if you want to go with the other people, there's a big wide road out there. If you want to stick with me, it's only a little narrow road, a remnant, and walk along it. So don't be surprised when you get small, when you stand for the Word of God, your church gets small. But if we would just slacken off a bit, and not so vigilant and sober about the world, the flesh and the devil getting a foothold in here, we could have a church bursting at the seams with lots of entertaining things going on. We could. But I'm thankful, and so is God, if what we read in the Scriptures is anything worth depending on, I'm thankful for a group of people, a small group of people, who have determined to remain faithful to God and continue in the things which we have learned since He led us out of whatever religious situation we might have previously been involved in. When we came out of the AOG, we had a lot of things we had to learn and relearn and discard. And you people, a lot of you people had to do the same thing. Hey, what's this Coastline Baptist Church teaching here? Well, we're teaching from the Word of God. And when you look in the Word of God with some teacher that can show you what's going on, it opens your eyes and you can see this stuff everywhere. What's going on? God says, continue in those things which you've learned since you came out of those apostate groups and continue in them, all right? Continue in them. As we celebrate our 12th anniversary today and look forward to serving God in our 13th year, I want to encourage each of us, as Paul did Timothy, to continue in the sound biblical things we have learned since coming to Coastline, being confident that we know whom we have learned them from. We haven't learned the things we now understand and stand strong on from any mere man's opinion, but from God's holy and infallible word, which is the only thing that is able to give us safe refuge from the apostasy that currently rages around us on all sides. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're probably still in there. We're going to finish soon. So what you've learned, We came out of all sorts of situations. Andy, Lachlan. Well, Lachlan, what's your testimony? You came here because that other church teaching you error. You knew that. Came, God led him here. And it's led lots of us here, the Coastline. Okay? You blokes got picked up by Pastor Dan, but you've seen, what they're teaching in there. Steve eventually got saved. All right? And we've come out of all sorts of things, each one of us. And we've had to relearn what this God is all about. And get rid of error. Alright? Well, God's encouraging us today. Continue in those things, alright, which you've learned and been assured of. Verse 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, our opening scripture today. We have been assured that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we stand together, and Lachlan and Kirsty too, leaving, but as we stand together being faithful to God, faithful to Coastline and faithful to each other, trusting in and standing unmovable upon the promises of His Word, and continue in them, then God will continue to illuminate and direct us on our path, leading us to wherever and whatever it is He has in store for us. Where the Bible is truly the sole authority for faith and practice, and every teaching is carefully compared to the Scripture, we can be assured that error cannot enter, If we stand on the Word of God, right, make sure you know what it says. Stand strong on it. Error can't come in. Amen? And we need to all learn to do that. See what the Scripture says. My encouragement to each of us as we proceed together, steadfast in the faith through our 13th year, my encouragement and appeal to each of us, what are we going to do? My encouragement and appeal to each of us is the same as what Paul said to Timothy in verse 14. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And let's be excited and expectant about whatever it is the Lord has in store for each one of us. About what God's got in store for us personally, as a church too, all right? Corporately and individually. Where is God leading us? Well, I don't know. Does anyone here got insight into the future tomorrow? Even? No. Or this afternoon? No. We don't know. We don't know where God is leading us, but we do know that God says, if you will follow me and walk according to my word and walk in the light I give you, you'll end up in the right place. I'm not a person who, New Year's Day, write down a whole list of things, of my goals for the year. I've never done that, and I grew up in the Pentecostal. Oh, they were good at that. You've got to have these goals, you see, and you've got to reach them, and if you don't, well, you know, some terrible thing will happen to you. I've never been like that. I just say, mate, I'm just going to serve God today. I just got up out of my bed, thank you, Lord, and I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. I'm going to read my Bible, have a pray, and see what Colleen's up to, and I'm going to just walk along and see what happens. Serving God. And that's what we need to do at Coastline. We haven't got a pastor. Well, we're supposed to have one. If you're a church, you're supposed to have a pastor. So let's just keep praying. But hey, if we haven't got one, we're just going to keep praying and serving God. Year 13. What's coming up in year 13? I don't know. But I tell you what, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about where is God taking us? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I know something. The world is getting worse and worse. And it's going to get so bad that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come and get us and take us to heaven. It's not too far away, my friends. Amen? Hey, you've got to be saved, though. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You can't go to heaven when the Lord comes and gets us if you're not part of the church. You've got to be part of the church. You know what the church is? The church is not a building. It's a group of people. The church is called from ecclesia in the Greek. Means the ones who have been called out together and banded together as a group of people. Called out of what? Called out of the world. If you're still dabbling in the world, you haven't been called out, you see. So you have to get born again. Love not the world. Deny yourself. Get born again. Become part of the church. And very shortly, the Lord is coming. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us today. Hey, let's continue in the things that we've learned. Continue in the things we've learned and just keep walking with the Lord. Amen. Let's close. Thank you, Lord, for this encouraging message to us today, Lord.